Our New Testament reading this morning is from Hebrews chapter 4. The Hebrews is towards the end of the New Testament. The reading is found in page 278. Hebrews chapter 4. Now this is a bit like tuning into a TV program halfway through and trying to guess what's happened already. And so with some programs, that's a lot easier than others. The writer to the Hebrews, in the midst of a great theological discourse about Jesus, the high priest, and God's purposes and the way God has worked things out in history. And today we're going to read chapter 4, which is in that context. And he's speaking about the rest and the promise of God. So Hebrews chapter 4. Now God has offered us the promise that we may receive that rest he spoke about. Let us take care then that none of you will be found to have failed to receive that promised rest. For we have heard the good news just as they did. They heard the message, but it did them no good, because when they heard it, they did not accept it with faith. We who believe then do receive that rest which God promised. It is just as he said, I was angry and made a solemn promise that they would never enter the land where I would have given them rest. He said this even though his work had been finished from the time he created the world. For somewhere in the scriptures this is said about the seventh day, God rested on the seventh day from all his work. The same matter is spoken of again. They will never enter that land where I would have given them rest. Those who first heard the good news did not receive that rest because they did not believe. There are then others who are allowed to receive it. This is shown by the fact that God sets another day, which is called today. Many years later, he spoke of it through David in the scripture already quoted. If you hear God's voice today, do not be stubborn. If Joshua had given the people the rest that God promised, God would not have spoken later about another day. As it is, however, there still remains for God's people a rest, like God's resting on the seventh day. For those who receive that rest which God promised will rest from their own work, just as God rested from his. Let us then do our best to receive that rest so that no one of us will fail as they did because of their lack of faith. The word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It cuts all the way through to where soul and spirit meet, to where joints and marrow come together. It judges the desires and thoughts of the heart. There is nothing that can be hidden from God. Everything in all creation is exposed and lies open before his eyes. And it is to him that we must all give an account of ourselves. Let us then hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we have a great high priest who has gone into the very presence of God, Jesus, the Son of God. Our high priest is not one who cannot feel sympathy for our weaknesses. On the contrary, we have a high priest who was tempted in every way that we are, but did not sin. Let us have confidence then, and approach God's throne where there is grace. There we will receive mercy and find grace to help us just when we need it. Again, may God speak to us through his word. May he encourage, may he challenge, may he uplift us as we consider these truths. Amen. But I want to briefly this morning look at this chapter in Hebrews, which is Hebrews chapter 4. A friend of mine was getting up at 3 o'clock this morning to wake up her children and her husband so they could be at Glasgow Airport by 5 o'clock to check in, to fly to Spain so they could go and have a rest, have a holiday. Another friend of mine is at the moment canoeing between different islands off the west coast of Scotland, just because that's what she does, is an organized part of an organized group, And she calls that a holiday and a rest. It is part of our life. Just, I heard a strange thing recently that, because one of the things that this canoeist will be hoping to see is dolphins and whales. You know that apparently whales have no sense of smell. And you think, how on earth did they work that one out? Did they say to a group of whales, can you smell this? You know, what does this smell? I don't know. Anyway, that's a total aside. She is out in God's creation canoeing in what I think is a very risky enterprise for her holiday. Holidays are actually a very recent phenomenon. We don't really read about holidays in the Bible. In fact, until the middle of the 19th century, the whole idea was very different. There were holidays which people had time off work in order to think about God. But there weren't holidays as we know them. But the Bible speaks regularly and frequently about Sabbath time. About the Sabbath. About a time of rest. To be and to acknowledge, be in the presence of God and acknowledge the presence of God. And maybe some of us, as we know, are just about to go off on holiday. Maybe some of us have come back. Maybe some of us are looking forward. But the very heart of the idea of holiday is time to rest in the presence of God. Time to be aware of God and consider what God has done. Time to reflect on what life is about and where God is taking you. At his very heart, there is Sabbath. Part of the rhythm of life built in by a creator God that every 7 days we should have a day of rest. Why? Because we need it as people. So the Bible doesn't speak about holidays, but the Bible does speak about Sabbath, about downtime, about chilling out, about chill time. Not just to do what we like because that might be fun and it is what we have to do at times, but also to be aware of the presence of God. And here in Hebrews chapter 4, we have something of what that is about. This was written in the context of an idea that the rabbis around the time of the early church had in their minds. That Sabbath was built into the created order. But here is something strange they would say. That when you look at the first 6 days of creation, it tells you that there was evening, there was an end to the day, and there was rest. But when it comes to the seventh day, there is no end to it. It goes on forever and into eternity. And the kind of rest that God brings, the kind of rest that God enjoys just by who he is, the kind of rest that God instituted and modeled at the end of 6 days' hard work is something that goes on forever. And he invites people to enjoy that same kind of rest and to be part of that kind of rest. And our Sunday Sabbath, and our holidays time off work, and our holidays time away from the daily routine of life are, if you like, a model, a prefiguring of that eternal rest that will be the joy of those who believe fully in a time to come. And some of you thought you were going to get a rest before then, didn't you? Especially those of us who work in churches and we do all sorts of youth organizations or coffee events or this, that, and another thing. Just give us a rest, give us summer. God says, a rest coming, but not in this life. That seems tough, doesn't it? But in the meantime, God calls us to take Sabbath seriously, to rest and be renewed and to be chilled in his presence. There's a strange thing in Psalm 95 and verse 7. Is that the right reference I've written down? I think it is. So Psalm 95 verse 7 refers to the passage that we've been reading. There's a verse I should have written down in my notes, but it's this. So it's Exodus 31 and 17 that says, in the seventh day, God rested and was refreshed. So there's a radical thought, isn't it? God rested and he was refreshed and he was renewed. As he looked at all that had been done, all that had been accomplished and achieved, all that had been put together through the time of creation, God rested and he was refreshed within himself. And that is the model of Sabbath. Time to be refreshed and renewed. And if God needed that, we need it too. But sometimes just like a child being carried off to bed late in an evening, we resist that. Sometimes we resist it because life is too much fun. Sometimes we resist it because we don't know what's going to happen. Sometimes we resist it because we really don't want to stop and we're afraid of what will happen when we do. In the Old Testament, there are two ideas of why Sabbath time, chill time, downtime should be taken. What's to be considered and what's to be remembered in these times? The first of these is that God created the world and he rested from his labors and he was refreshed, and therefore we should do the same. The second is linked in particularly in the book of Exodus, is that to remember that God set you free. That God is a savior God. That God is a liberator God who takes you from slavery and chains to the freedom of his promised land. And in our chill time, our downtime, our Sabbath time, these are things worth remembering. In fact, if we don't remember them, then we'll be spiritually poor as a result. And here in Hebrews chapter 4, there's this strange thing. Because for the Exodus people, the promised land was where after the slavery, they were going to rest. And yet, it says that God brought them to the promised land, but there was no rest. They missed it. They got there physically, but spiritually, emotionally, they didn't receive the rest of God. Spiritually, emotionally, they didn't have that Sabbath time because they missed it. And we can go on holiday, and we can take Sunday off, or we can have other days off in the week because we have to work on a Sunday and still miss the rest of God if we don't submit and allow our lives to be renewed by his Spirit as we consider who God is and we consider what God has done. We could miss it. And sometimes we are people who are very human. We think, I can't take time out of that church activity or that work activity because they can't cope without me. And in doing that, we display a distrust of God who provides for his work. And that is the very time that we need to stop and consider who God is. And sometimes as people we think that there's so much to be done and we need to get on with it. Therefore we cannot stop and chill. And in doing so we display a distrust of God. Because obviously he's asked us to do too much. And we need to keep working hard to make it happen. And yet God is the God who gives us enough to do for that day. And that's it. And have we taken on too much? And sometimes we want to keep on working, and we want to keep on striving, we want to keep on doing things. And that can happen whether we're lying on a beach in Spain or canoeing across the North Minch. We still want to keep on doing things because actually we're scared to stop and look into ourselves with God's vision and find there's maybe not as much faith, not as much hope, not as much belief, not as much knowledge and experience of the living God as we've presented to other people. Therefore, we'll strive on. And God simply says to us, come to me, you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And God does not turn us away. And God does not reject us because of who we are, because He actually knows what we're like. And He accepts us. And He welcomes us. And His purpose is that in this life, as a model, and in the life to come, you and me, each one of us here, should enjoy that fullness of His rest. That is His vision for our life. So maybe these are heavy thoughts in holiday time. They're not really. Because holidays are about fun. Holidays are about laughter. Holidays are about discovering new things. Holidays are about going new places, meeting new friends, or catching up with old friends. Holidays are about enjoyment, because that's what they are. But as Christians, they're also time when God is calling us to rest and remember who He is and who we are, and to enjoy His presence. Let us pray. Lord, you call us in the rhythm of life to stop and consider. To this time of the year, this point in our lives, help us to stop and consider who you are and who we are. Give us a bigger vision of who you are. Give us a fresh understanding. And in doing so, renew our souls and our spirits, that we might be closer to you. Lord, these things we ask in your name. Amen.